Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Chav Ches. We're very, very near the end of the Masechta, and we'll see how far we get today. Maybe it's possible we'll conclude the Masechta, because there's very little on Daf Chav Tesom and Aleph. We'll see how far we get, whether we make this one shiur or two shiur. We pick up the Gemara with the words, V'Omar Rebbe Elazar, which is at the end of the third line from the top, Chav Aleph, Omud Aleph. And we begin. V'Omar Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar tells us another din. Yesterday we just mentioned that Miriam Hanaviyah, she died on the 10th day of Nisan. And we used that drasha to teach us that she was buried there right away, and they didn't put her bier down, the B-I-E-R, they didn't put her coffin down, and that's how we learn out that all women, Shar Nashim, also do not have this putting down of the bier because of the kavod of those women that died while they were in childbirth or while they were in nidos, and that there shouldn't be an embarrassment for them. So while we were on the subject of Misas Miriam, we have another din from Rabbi Elazar. He told us that first, then yesterday, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af Miriam bin Ashika Mesa. Miriam also died with the kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a famous Gemara that we have in Bava Basra, at the end of the first parak in Bava Basra on Daf Yud Zayin, where it tells us over there that a number of people died in Ashika. According to one opinion, the Avos died in Ashika, and Moshe, Aaron, and the Miriam died in Ashika. In all of them, we have drushas, but we don't have a drusha specifically for Miriam, except through the following Zerishav that Rabbi Elazar tells us. It says, Af Miriam bin Ashika Mesa. So she too died via kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to through the Balach HaMavis, through a more difficult way of dying. And we learn this out from Asya Shum Mimoshe. We learn this out from Gzeri Shav. It says over here by Miriam, the pasuk that we brought down the end of yesterday's year, Vatomos Shum Miriam, Vatikover Shum. And it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says also that he died over there. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu died by Yom HaShem Moshe. And then at the end of the pasuk it says, Al Pi Hashem, he died via the kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we learn out the Gzeri Shava, Sham Sham, that Miriam died also via Nishika. Now, why do we need this Gzeri Shava? Why didn't it tell us directly that Miriam died Al Pi Nishika? So Gemara says, the reason why you need the Gzeri Shava, Umnei Ma Lo Nemar Bo Al Pi Hashem, why doesn't it say directly we need the Gzeri Shava? Umnei Shekinai Hadar L'Yomro. It's so to say inappropriate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to so to say kiss Miriam, and that's how she's brought to the Olam HaEmes. So it's pasnish, it's a lack of tznius for Miriam Hatzadekes, and therefore Miriam HaNeviah, it doesn't mention specifically, albeit she died also via Neshika. She was a great Tzadekes, the Zchus of the Be'er Miriam for all the 40 years in the Midbar was through her Zchus. The Gemara continues and tells us more about Miriam. It says, Amar Rav Ami tells us, Lomo nismuchob misas Miriam leparashas paraduma. Why is there a connection between the death of Miriam and then immediately afterwards it tells us about the paraduma? So that's a teacher's a very, very important idea. And that is lo maloch ma paraduma mechaperes af misasun shol tzadikim mechaperes. Just like the paraduma functions as a way for us to get a kapara, for us to get an atonement, the paraduma is mechaper on tumas meis. So too the misa of tzadikim or noshim tzidkanios like Miriam af misasun, their death is also a kapara for the generation, for the nation of Klal Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar tells us likewise. Lama nismuchab misas Aaron lebidei kahuna. Why is there a connection one after the other, a smichus, a connection between the mis of Aaron and the bigdei kahuna? It says that Aaron put on the bigdei kahuna, and then he goes up to Har Ahar, and it's taken away, and the begot are then placed on his son Elazar by Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? What do you have to tell us that? Lama nismuchab misas Aaron lebidei kahuna. So again, the chiddush over here, Rabbi Elazar says, very similar to what Rav Ami just taught us about the smicha of the parshas paraduma to Miriam. So ma bigdei kahuna mechapren af misasin shel tzadikim mechaperes. Just like the Big Day Kahuna Amachaper, the Rashi and the Ksiviyad gives us two examples how we know that the Big Day Kahuna Amachaper, the Gemara elsewhere goes to more specifically every single one of the Big Day Kahuna, why the Machaper, the eight begodim of the Kohen Gadol Machaper. So here it just gives us two in the Ksiviyad and Rashi. He brings down Choshen Mishpat al Ivus Hadin. It brings down that Rachmona Litzlan, if there's a miscarriage of justice, so then the Choshen Mishpat is the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, so that's mechaper for these misjustices or miscarriages of din, and the pamon, the bells that were on the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, that's for mechaper for the lashon hara sins, and the Gemara in Yuma gives us a list of all of those begadim and what they're mechaper on. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa, ma pisom, a person who dies suddenly, how do we define that? Zu misa chatufa, that's called the misa chatufa. Tosus over here brings down in Dibra Masu chatufa with the chufa, says, lo yadana, ma ishnahu uminale. He says, I have no idea what this means specifically, what's the significance of this, nor what is the difference between one type of misa and another type of misa. Nevertheless, the Gemara brings down over here that if a person dies suddenly, that's called the misa chatufa. He's grabbed away. He's taken suddenly away. If a person gets sick, chola, yom echad, and then he suddenly dies afterwards, so it's not immediate, not pisom, but it's very quickly. So that type of a death, zugi misa dechufa, that is called a pushed death, a quick death. So There's again, Tosa says, I'm not sure what the significance of these, of calling these two these types of deaths. On the other hand, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel disagrees. Omer, he says, this last one, if a person is Cholo Yom Echad Umeis, that's not called a Misa Dechufa. He says, Zuhi Misas Magefa. That's called a Misas Magefa, death via a Magefa, a plague. Shinemar, and he bases upon the following Pasuk, and this is when Yecheskel is told that Nebuch, his wife, is going to die. So Ben Adam, Cheskel is always called Ben Adam. Hineni lokeach mimcha. Kosh Baruch Hu says to Cheskel, I'm going to take away from you es machmad einecha b'magefa. I'm going to take away the beauty of your eyes. In other words, your wife, and she's going to die nebuch in a magefa. And then a little bit later, the pasuk in Cheskel says, Uchsev va'adaber lo'om. Cheskel speaks to all the Klai Yisrael ba'boker in the morning, and then va'tomos ishti ba'erev. And then his wife got sick in the morning, as Tosus points out. Va'adaber lo'om ba'boker pirush v'cholsa. His wife at that point in time got sick, and then umesa that afternoon. So this is what Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel tells us is this misa of a magefa. Fine. The Gemara continues and tells us. Furthermore, the Braisa continues, this is the Tanakhama, because Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel disagreed with the Tanakhama, but the Tanakhama is continuing now. He says, if a person dies Nebuch, Shtei Yomim, after 2 days of being sick, or 2 days after something happens, Zumeis, and then he dies, that's called Zumisa Dechuya. That is called a Dochuy, it's a pushed type of a death also. Dechufa and Dechuya are slightly different terms, and Dechuya is like, for example, we use in Hilchos Shabbos, whether it's Hutra or Dechuya, it's pushed aside. So this type of death is called a pushed death or a hurried type of a death. If a person dies Nebuch after 3 days, Shlosha, that's called a Ga'ara type of death. Ga'ara is like you glower at somebody. That's like a Tochacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arba, if a person dies after 4 days of illness, so that's called the death of Nezifa. A person is put into like a certain type of excommunication. Nezifa is, again, a glowering at the person, a scorn. They translate this as, so Nezifa is the 4 days of death. And if you die on the fifth day, Chamisha, that's who, Zil Mises Kolodim. That is considered a normal type of death, that a person is sick for a number of days. And Omri Rechanan Maikra, Rabbi Chanan says, where do we see this? What's the pasuk for this? It's learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Hein Karvu Yamecha Lemus. Moshe Rabbeinu is told that your days are getting close to when you're going to die. And from these words over here, Hein Karvu Yamecha. So Hein means Chad. We'll see tomorrow. In a moment, the Gemara will tell us that the word Hein actually means one in a foreign language. So Hein is Chad. Karvu, that's plural, so that's Trey. Miut Rabim is Shtayim. And then Yamecha is days. So that's Miut Rabim, again, is Trey, is two. So you have one from Hein, two from Karvu, two from Yamecha. 1 + 2 + 2 is 5. And therefore, Hachamisha, that's the 5 days, and that's considered a normal death. Tosus points out, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get sick, so what are you talking about? So Tosus says, in Divrei Maskil Hein Karvu, he says, Lav Dafka, that it means that you get sick. The Lo Ashkechana, the Moshe Hayachole. And in fact, we don't find that Moshe was sick at all. And in fact, on the day that he died, it says he did tremendously strong things. And he wrote many Sifrei Torah, and he jumped many Psios, Mevasachas, and he wasn't sick, but it means that he was told 5 days beforehand. Lav Dafka, you have to be sick, but if you're informed 5 days beforehand, so that is, quote, a normal death. Now, where do we see that the word Hein is Chad? So he says Hein is Chad is Kain, Beloshen Yavani, in the Greek language, Karim Liachas Hein, the word Hen, one. Right? You can even sound that, the word one, a little bit, it sounds like Hen. So that's the derivation of the English word one, comes from the Greek word Hein, which is one. We continue the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Meis b'chamiishim shana." If a person dies when he's 50 years old or less, so zuhi misas kares. That's called kares. A person is cut off. He dies before the normal time for a person to die, which is before the age of 50. So then, that's called kares. That's called the misa of kares according to this opinion of the Braisa. And by the way, the Braisa tells us, "Chamiishim u'shtayim." If you die at 52 shana, zuhi misas u'shushmul haramasi. That's when the great Navi Shmuel, he died at the age of 52. That's Darsh and Dao, because he was 2 years old when he was brought in front of Eli, because he was Mori Halacha Lefnei Rabbah in front of Eli, and then it says he's going to live Li'olam, and Li'olam is 50 years. Li'ovel is 50 years, so therefore he died at the age of 52. Price continues, says, if you die at the age of 60, Shishim, so the Girsa that we have is Zuhi Misa Bidei Shemaim. This is called death via Shemaim. Others have the Girsa, Zuhi Misa Sadam. This is the normal way that a person dies at the age of 60. And the Gemara continues and says, Amar Mazutra, Mazutra tells us, my craw, where do we see the pasuk to support this? Because the pasuk says, Tavo bekelach elei kever, you will go to your kever at what's called a kelach age. What is kelach? The kelach, the gematria, is shisen habu. It adds up to 60. The beis and the ches, that's 2 and 8 is 10. So 10 and chof is 20, that's 30. And lam is another 30, that's 60. So this is an allusion to the idea of 60. Then the Gemara continues with the Braisa, which is also found in Pirkei Avos, Shivim Seva, a death at the age of 70 is called a normal old age. that is called Seva. And Shmonim, if you reach 80, that's called Gvuros. As the Pasuk tells us, Dersiv, as we have the famous Pasuk from Tehillim, where it tells us, Yimei Shnoseinu, the normal life is Bohem Shivim Shana, is normally 70 years. The Yimei Gvuros, if a person reaches Gvuros, that means he reaches 80 years, Shmonim Shana. Now, Amar Rabba, Rabba wants to point out one thing in the Brice. He says, Michamishim Yachishim Shana, Zui Mises Koris. He says, not only 50, but if you die between 50 and 60, that is called Koris. Again, we have elsewhere a lot of definitions of what Koris is. Either Koris means that you're cut off, or you won't have progeny, that progeny is cut off as well, Rechmon Litzlan. In any event, what exactly is Koris? We'll discuss it another time, but here he's telling us that the age of Koris is not just 50, it's 50 to 60. We said Shmuel died at 52, and you're Rechmon Litzlan telling us that Shmuel died because of Koris, Rechmon Litzlan, Chas V'Shalom. The fact that the Brisa said Mace Bechamishim Shana, that's called Misas Koris, and it didn't say 50 to 60, was because the Brisa then told us that Shmuel died at 52, so it didn't want to even give the hint or a suggestion that Shmuel Rachmona Litzlan died because of Koris. Shmuel died because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's supposed to die. And again, from this Gemara, you can never ever learn out from these Gemaras, these ideas, to any individual specific person. So you can't say Rachmona Litzlan, somebody dies at the age of 48, that that person is a sinner, he died of Koris, and his children are going to be cut off, Rachmano Litzlan. So there are people that it applies to, there are people that it doesn't apply to, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the way he runs the world. Similarly, Rabbi Yosef, Ki Hava Bar Shisim, when Rabbi Yosef reached the age of 60, so Avalu Yom Tovu Rabbanu, so he made a big Sudas Mitzvah. There are, in fact, people that go make Sudas Mitzvah when they hit the age of 60. There are those that make Sudas Mitzvah at the age of 70. There's all halachic literature about people making a Siyum, so to say, a Sudas Mitzvah when they hit a certain age because, Baruch Hashem, they're outside the age of Kari. So this, Rabbi Yosef, this Gemara over here, is Halach L'maisa. There are those poskim that bring down at the age of 60, you should make some sort of a Suda. Others say at the age of 70. Rabbi Yosef, Ki Hava Bar Shisim, when he reached 60, so he made a Suda, he made a great day for the Tamidim. Amr, he said, Navki li mikaris, Baruch Hashem, I'm not going to die of Karis. I'm over the age of 60. So my Abaya, who was one of his Tamidim, said to him, Rebbe, nee, maybe, the Nofak le mar mikaris dishne. Granted, the Rebbe is not going to die of Karis in terms of years. However, mikaris diome, mi nofak mar. However, the concept of dying still prematurely, not at your full days, so how does the Rebbe know? Maybe Rachman al-Islam, Chas Hashem, that he could still have a Karis of Yom, cutting short of his days, even though he's not going to have a cutting short of his years. So that's the question. Abaye asked this Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef. So I'm late, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, no, I'll take whatever I get. Nekot loch miya, pal gubiyodim. So at least take this. So granted, Baruch Hashem, I can't guarantee that I won't die of a Karis of Yomim, whatever that exactly means, but Baruch Hashem, I didn't die of the Karis of Shanim, so I'm making a Suda for the Chachamim, for the Tamidim, on that basis. Similarly, Rav Huna Noch Navshei Pisom, Rav Huna died very suddenly. Now, we just said beforehand that if you die suddenly, that is a sign that it's a Miso Chatufa. So, Hakka Daigi Rabbanan, the rabbis were very nervous and said, whoa, maybe this is that Miso that is not a good thing called Miso Chatufa. So, Tanalu, now the Girsa that we have is Zuga the Mehadiyav, which literally would mean a couple of Tamidei Chachamim that came from the city of Hadiyav. Others say that this is a name, Zuga de Mehadiyav, it's the name of a person that came from a certain place, or that there are other Girsas over here. In any event, whoever it was, they said, Lo Shanu Ela Shlo Yeh Ligvuros. That which we said, that this is not a good thing to die suddenly like that, so that's only if the person hasn't reached the age of Gvuros, which we said before was 80 years old. But if a person dies suddenly when he reaches the age of 80 or beyond, Avoligia Ligvuros, Sui Misas Nishika. That's a wonderful thing. The person shouldn't die with nebuch, all sorts of pains and cranks and difficulties. So that is actually a very nice type. That's a Misa Aidei Nishika. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissed him, rather than giving him the ravages of the Malach HaMavis. Amar Rava, Rava said, Chaye, the fact of how long a person is going to live, Binei, whether he's going to have children, what will be with his children, Umazone, and what will his parnasa be, all of these things are lo bischusa talya milsa, they're not dependent only upon yizuchusim, elabim mazla talya milsa. It's totally on something called mazl. Now, we already had learned, and others bring this down, that there is no concept of mazel by Klal Yisrael. So what exactly does this mean? You see in the Tosos, Ela b'mazel tayim milsa, he says, v'hikshu b'tosos, hodem ra'am b'sov Shabbos, ein mazel Yisrael. So how do you deal with this? So he says, v'yesh lomar d'lefomim mishtan ayideh mazel, ki hano d'hosam, upam m'shei mishtana. So he says, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You have to go and look at many other factors. And this falls under the rubric of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And while we get clues and inklings of this from Gemaras like this and other Gemaras, we don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and we can't really ever say anything. If something happens to such a person, you can't say, it's because of that. Only a Navi can say that. Only a person who has Ruach HaKodesh can say that. And therefore, there is this concept of mazel. What exactly this means is that sometimes things are out of our control. A person could be a great tzaddik and yet not have success in a long life, not have success with children, not have success with parnasa. And that's what Rabbah tells us. And Rabbah tells us, Taha, Rabbah v'Rachis, the Tavayi, Rabban and Tzadiki Abu. He says, I'll show you a personal example of this, that Rabbah and Rachis, these were both Rabbeim of Rabbah, they're both great, great tzaddikim. And Mar Matzlev Yossi Mitra, Umar Matzlev Yossi Mitra. I'll show you that they're both great tzaddikim, because each of them would daven for rain when there was a famine, and there was no rain, and nevertheless, if each of them davened alone, the rain would come. So Rabbah was certainly a great tzaddik, the rain came because of him, and Rav Chisda was a great tzaddik, the rain would come because of him. Yet, they lived very different lives. Rav Chisda lived to a ripe old age. Rav Chisda lived to be 92 years old. And nevertheless, Rabbah, who was also a big tzaddik, only lived he only lived to the age of 40. Rabbah came from the house of Eli. He should have died even at 20, and it's only because of his Torah learning that he was able to even live to 40. In any event, Rav Chisda, the house of Rav Chisda celebrated many weddings. Shishin Hilule. Tosus brings out that this is Yesh Mefarshim Lav Dafka, that this 60 is not to be taken literally. It means a lot. Sometimes we have numbers in the Gemara like 60 or 300 or 400. These are numbers that are used as an exaggerated number. It means a lot. So Rav Chisda's house, they celebrated a lot of Hilule, a lot of weddings. And Nebuch, Bei Rabbah, in the house of Rabbah, they celebrated or commemorated Shishin Tichle. They were Nebuch suffering lots of Avelus. There were many deaths in Rabbah's household. So again, the total opposites, even though they're both great tzaddikim. And likewise, Be'er Chisda, he was so wealthy, Smida Lekabe, they would give very fine flour. Smida is very, very finely sifted flour. They would give it to their dogs, below Mizbay, and the dogs didn't want to eat it. They were so well fed that the dogs wouldn't even eat that high level quality of flour, which normally would only be given to people. And in the Bei Rabbah, in Rabbah's house, they gave barley bread, namo desare linshe, which is normally not a food that people eat barley. Animals eat barley. That's why the minchasota is brought bedavka from barley, because she acted like an animal, so therefore she brings animal carbon. And nevertheless, lo mishtakach, they couldn't even have it. They would try to have barley flour. That's the best they could do. But Nebuch, he was so poor that they didn't even have barley flour. So you see, these two great tzaddikim, Rava says, obviously, it's not because one was a good tzaddik and one was not a tzaddik. Ella b'mazla talya milsa. Some things are outside the control of a person. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, Rava said, v'yom Rava, hani tlas mile v'ya kamei shmaya, I davened for three things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two, I was answered positively, and one, I was not. What were the three things that Rava davened for? The two things that I was answered for, I davened to have the Chochmah of Rav Huna. Rav Huna was a huge Talmud Chacham. We had him previously. They made great hespedim at Rav Huna's death because he was such a huge Talmud Chacham. And he davened that he should have the wisdom of Rav Huna, and that he was granted, Rava said. And he davened that he should be as wealthy as Rav Chisda, the Usrei, the usher of Rav Chisda, and that he was granted as well. However, he also davened for in the Sanuse, the Rabba by Rav Huna. I asked to be as humble as Rav Huna's son, Rabba by Rav Huna, and that I wasn't answered. Lo Yavuli, that I was not answered. I didn't get that. And the obvious question here is, how do you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you humbleness? That's, first of all, HaKol B'yei Shemayim Chutz B'yei Shemayim. So this is something that you should have to earn on your own. So the answer is that he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me, to assist me, that I should become as humble as that. And Rabbah felt that level of Anvesenuse that Rabbah Bar Rav Huna had, he felt that he never achieved such a level. Now we have another story about Rabbah, a very amazing story. Rav Saorim, we have it spelled with a sin, but some have the gears over here with a samach. So Rav Saorim was Achua, the Rava. He was Rava's brother. You don't find him too much about him in Shas, but he obviously was a great Talmud Chacham as well. So Rav Saorim, who was the brother of Rava, Havi Yosef Kamei de Rava, and Chaz Yedahava Kol Menamnim. So he was sitting once with his brother, with Rava, and he saw that he was Menamnim. Now Menamnim normally means that he was falling asleep. However, in the Rashi Ksiviyad, he brings down Lishna Ma'ayinukav. This is a euphemism, and in the regular Rashis, it says over here that he was a ghost. He saw Nebuch, he was on his deathbed. So Rav Saorim, the brother of Rava, is sitting with Rava, his brother, as Rava's dying. And Amalei, Rava says to him, Lema le mar to lo litzaren. He tells his brother, Rav Saorim, please go speak to the Malach HaMavis, who's going to be here any second right now, and tell him not to give me a hard time, not to take my life in a painful manner. So Amalei, so Rav Saorim says back to his brother, Rava, Mar lav shush binehu? Aren't you close with the Malach HaMavis? we find in many stories in Shas that the Amoraim and Tanoim had relationships, so to say, with the Malach HaMavis. Rav Shubin Levi grabbed the Malach HaMavis' sword and he jumped into Shemayim and said, I'm not giving it back, let me stay here. So we find many times that Tanoim and Amoraim were able to speak with the Malach HaMavis. So Rav Sarim just assumed that his brother Rav could speak with the Malach HaMavis. So he said, why don't you ask him yourself? So I'm like, Rav said to him, I can't. Kivan the Imsar Mazlo, since my mazel is handed over to him, as Rashi says over here, Isra mazli, I'm obviously in dire straits over here. I'm on my deathbed. I'm a goseis, so lo ashkach bi. So he's not going to listen to me, and he's not necessarily going to respond to me if I ask him a question. So you ask him. In any event, Amalei, he says to Rava, Lischaze li mar. Rav Sarim says to his brother, after you die, come to me in a dream, and let me know what happened. Did you or did you not have a painful death? So Nebuch Rava passes away, and Ischazalei, he goes to his brother Rav Sarim in a dream. And Amalei, Rava in the dream, is asked by his brother, Rav Sorim, no, did you have any pain? Havalei Lamar Tzara. He called his brother Mar, the great Rabba, and he said, did you have any pain when the Malach HaMavis came and took your life? Did you have any pain? Havalei Lamar Tzara. And Amalei, so Rabba answered in the dream, no, Kirivda Dikusilta. It was like just getting your blood drawn, like the little prick from getting your blood drawn. That's Rivda Dikusilta. That was as much pain as I felt. Not a lot of pain, a very small amount of pain. Rava was such a tzaddik that his neshama had very little connection to his body, so the removal of one for the other was very, very simple and not a lot of pain. If somebody is a very gashmius person, he's nebuch, entrenched in all the physical pleasures of this world, so his neshama, unfortunately, also becomes attached to those physical pleasures, and then when the neshama has to leave the body, it's like dragged away in pain. Where elsewhere uses a lashon, we'll see this in Daf Chav Tes, and in other places it uses the lashon of like a bread that's locked into a wall, and you have to pull it out of the wall, it pulls a lot of the wall out with it. So if a certain nail is in the wall and it has a tremendous amount of attachment to the wall, and then you try to pull it out, it's going to destroy half the wall, and that's a very painful thing when the neshama is so attached to this world because of the gashmias of this world. So then that's not a good thing, and it's a painful thing for that person when he dies. Mark continues and tells us, Rava, Havi Yosef, commanded Rav Nachman. Rava had a similar situation when Rav Nachman was dying, that Rava went to visit him, and Chazi to Komenamnim. He saw that his Rebbe, Rav Nachman, was Nebuch about to die. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman asks Rava now, Leimalei Mar, the Lord Tzaron, go tell the Malach HaMavis not to give me a hard time, not to be very painful in taking me away. So Amalei, so Rava says to Rav Nachman, Maluch Odom Choshefu, you are a very, very chash of a person, so certainly you are going to be able to talk to the Malach HaMavis. So tell the Malach HaMavis not to give you a hard time. So Amalei, Rav Nachman said to him, no, it doesn't work that way. Man chashiv, who is considered important when it deals with the Malach HaMavis? When the Malach HaMavis is coming to get you, nobody's considered important. That's why we often say by making a Mishaberach, you don't put in all the titles of the person. The person's the, you know, the Rash Bahag. You say Nebuch, you say the name of the first name of the person and the name of his mother. You don't go and give all the titles. At that point in time, there are no titles. So man chashiv, who is considered chashiv when the Malach HaMavis is involved? Man sofin. Sofin is a lashon of being very elevated. Tosu says also a lashon of choshuv. It brings psukim to show this. And then likewise, man rakia. Tosu says man rakia is somebody who is a perfect mesukan. He's very, very fixed and did everything well. So nobody, when he's facing the Malach HaMavis, can be considered a choshuv, a sofin, or a rakia. Okay, great. So that's why Rav Nachman couldn't talk to himself. Then Rava says to Rav Nachman, Amalei, Lischazalei Mar. No, after the Rebbe dies, so come back to me in a dream and tell me what happened. So Lischazalei, so after Rav Nachman dies, he does go to Rava in a dream, and Amalei, Rava asks him, Havalei Mar, Lamar Tzara. No, what was the Rebbe's passing like? Was there any pain? And Amalei says, no, Kemishchal Benisa Mechalobe. It was like taking a hair out of milk. If you have a hair in a milk, so you pull that hair out, obviously there's very little attachment over there, similar to what I just said before, when the little puncture that you get from a bloodletting. So the similar idea, there's very little pain involved when you're moving a hair from milk because, again, the shamans were so holy they weren't physically attached to the gashmiest world and therefore to remove it from this world wasn't a big painful item. And Rav Nachman told Rava in addition in his dream, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, Zil Ba'al Alma, go back to this world if you want, Kat Havis, exactly the way that you were, Rav Nachman would have told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Be'ina, I wouldn't want that, the Nafish Biasusa, because I would be too afraid of the Malach HaMavis the second time, that maybe it wouldn't be so easy. Another story, Rabbi Lozer, Havi Ka'achel Truma, and Ischazalei, and Rabbi Lozer was eating Truma, he was a Kohen, and the Malach HaMavis came to him, are you to kill him? So Amalei, so Elazar tells him, Al-Chabavis, you can't do this while I'm eating Truma, because there'll be Metami the Truma. Truma ka'achilna, v'lav kodesh ikrei. And since the Truma is something that's called Kodesh, and if I die, the Truma's going to become Tomei, you don't have a right to go make a Tomei. And with that argument, he was able to push off the Malach HaMavis, Chalfolei Shaita. He didn't go and kill him, as Rashi brings down, in the Ksiv Yad Rashi, Lo Meis Ba'osu Perik. He didn't die at that moment in time. He was able to fool, so to say, the Malach HaMavis, or trick the Malach HaMavis into not killing him. Similarly, Rav Sheshes, Ischazi Levi Shuka, the Malach HaMavis came up to Rav Sheshes in the middle of the marketplace. Amalei, Rav Sheshes says to him, what am I, Beshuka, ki behema, you're going to kill me over here like a behema, you kill in the marketplace, like you kill an animal in the butcher store? So, Isa Lagabe Besa, wait till I get to my house, and then, if you want, you can take me over there. Similarly, Rav Ashi Ischazi Levi Shuka, the Malach HaMavis appeared to Rav Ashi in the marketplace, and Amalei, Rav Ashi told him, Israch, others said the gear, so Israelit lost in Yomen. Give me 30 more days because the Hadre le Talmudai. I want to go over all of my learning every 30 days. So let me finish up my learning one more time. So I should go up to Shemayim, the Amrisu, because they say in Shemayim, Ashimishu Balakan, Talmud Vayadu, because it's very praiseworthy for somebody to come up to Shemayim with all of his learning in his hand. So let me chaser over everything that I learned over the next 30 days. No. It's almost 30 days. The Malach HaMavis agrees to it. Beyom Tlosin on the 30th day, but not at the end of the 30th day. Also, the Malach HaMavis comes to go take Rav Ashi to Yolam Amis. So Amalei, Rav Ashi says, what's your rush? Michael, I wait till the end of the 30 days. So the Malach HaMavis says, no, I can't. Kodochach Karagle Debar Nosson. Rav Nosson is scheduled to take over. Rav Ashi was the head of the Jewish community. Ravina and Rav Ashi were the redactors of the Talmud Bavli. They were the Reish Galusa. They were the leaders of the Jewish community in Babel, and now it was Rav Ashi's turn to hand it over to Bar Nosson. So therefore, if you stay on this world, it's going to delay Bar Nosson from becoming the head of the Jewish community. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works it is that as soon as one king is supposed to die, the next king takes over, there can't be any delay in doing so. That's what David HaMelech said, let me live a little bit longer, and Shlomo HaMelech, don't let me die on Shabbos, let Shlomo HaMelech take over on Sunday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you can't do that. And he couldn't bring it early. He couldn't die on Friday because, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't ready to make Shlomo Melech the Melech. So therefore, there's not even a second, even a hair breadth between one and the next. When it's the time, that's when it's the time. Gemara continues, Rav Chisda, lo v'yachalei. The Malach HaMavis was supposed to take Rav Chisda, but he couldn't because Rav Chisda was learning. Lo habishasik pumi megirsa. Malach HaMavis can't take away what you're learning. We have the same story by David HaMelech, that the Malach HaMavis couldn't take away. David HaMelech knew he was going to die on Shabbos, so he could learn all Shabbos laws, so the Malach HaMavis couldn't take him. Similar to what happened to Rav Chisda, happened to David HaMelech as well. In any event, Solik, to the Malach HaMavis went, Yosef Bi'arzi sat down on a tree, a cedar tree, the Ve'rab, that was near the base medrash, and then broke the cedar tree, Poka Arza, and because of that sound, it made Rav Chisda stop learning V'shasach, and then the Malach HaMavis V'yochale was able to go and take him. That's a similar story to what happened by David HaMelech. Rav Chiya lo havi matze lemikrov alei. The Malach HaMavis could not get near Rav Chiya. He was also learning all the time. The Malach HaMavis couldn't take Rav Chiya to Shemayim. So Yom Echad, one day, the Malach HaMavis came up with the following plan. Idmi lei ka'anya, he looked like a poor person, and also tarif above, he knocked on Rav Chiya's door, and Amalei said to Rav Chiya, please give me some bread. Afik li rifta, have mercy on me, I'm a poor person, and I bread. Nu, afikulei. So Rav Chisda gave him bread. So the Malach HaMavis said to Rav Chisda, oh, just like you merachim on the poor person, why aren't you merachim on me? The Malach HaMavis. The lav ko merachim mara anya. You are obviously a merciful person. You have mercy on the ani. How come? Ahol gavra, my lo ko merachim mar. How come you don't give me the same mercy? I have a job to do. Just the poor person needs money. He needs food. So you give it to him. So I have a job to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I'm supposed to take you. What are you giving me a hard time for? So Galilei. Rav Chisda now sees that this is the Malach HaMavis, and Achvi Leishuta Denura, and he has a flame over there. Rashi says in the Ksiv Yad that by the showing of this fire, this rod of fire, so, and Rashi in the regular Rashi says the same thing, V'yod Adu Malach HaMavis, he knew, realized he was a Malach HaMavis, and Amtsi Leinafshe. Rashi in the Ksiv Yad says, V'himtsi Lei Rav Chiya Esatzmo, he presented himself to the Malach HaMavis to take him up to Shemayim. And now we turn to Chav Ches Omid Beis. The Gemara starts the last Mishnah in this beautiful Masechta, and the Mishnah says, "On Cholamoid Noshim Bamoed On Cholamoid Ma'anos." They're allowed to do when they have a funeral. They're allowed to do Ma'anos. Ma'anos, we'll see, means that they have a leader. It's mostly women that used to do this, just like we find in the Torah. It says Mechashefa Lo Sechayev, but men could be a Mechashef also. But women were tended to be the ones that did that. So women were the ones that also felt the death so strongly, they're more emotional than men. So the women were often the ones that did these various types of mourning practices at a funeral. So Nashim Bamoed, on Chol HaMoed, women are allowed to be Ma'anos. In other words, one can go and lead the others in a, you know, a repetitive type of a fashion that one of them would lead and the others would answer. That's Ma'anos means Avalom Tapchos. But they're not allowed to go and clap, either clap their hands together, or clap their hands on their chest, or clap their hands on their thighs, different explanations of what metapchos means. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, hasmuchus lamita metapchos, even on Chol HaMoed, those that are right near the coffin, hasmuchus lamita, they're allowed to even go and clap their hands, or clap on their thighs, or clap on their chest. The Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, b'roshi chadoshim b'chanako b'purim, on these days which aren't as strict as Chol HaMoed, on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, it's one level down, so not only can they be ma'anos, but they're also allowed to be metapchos. They do the clapping when the Nebuch is a funeral on those days. However, on both of them, meaning on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, as well as on Chol HaMoed, certainly, b'zev lo mekoninos, you're not allowed to do the mekoninos, which is the dirge singing all together, as the Mishnah will say in a moment. Finally, nikbar mace, once the mace is buried on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, then even then, lo ma'anos, lo metapchos. Then you can no longer do the ma'anos or the metapchos. What exactly are these three things, ma'anos, metapchos, and mekoninos? Se'ezu inui, what does it mean, ma'anos? So that is like the word sounds, one, shekulin onos ki achas. All of them say it together. I think I said before a minute ago that it was one person saying it and then the others responding. That's not what it means. It means over here that they all say it together. Kulan onos ki achas. They all answer and sing the song together. Kina is sha'achas b'deberes v'kula onos acharel. The kina, the mekoninos, that's what I meant to say, is that one of them says it and the others respond. That's like when you have a person starting to say Shir HaMalos, so the chazan or the rabbi, whoever is saying Shir HaMalos, and then the congregation repeats it, and then the rabbi says the next phrase, the next pasuk, and the tzibur repeats it. That's called mekoninos. So again, ma'anos, just to make sure everybody understands it correctly, ma'anos is they all say it together, and kina, mekoninos, that's when one person leads it, and the others respond to that person, then the next paragraph or pasuk is said, and they respond. Sha'achas b'daberes v'kulan ono sacharel. And what's the source for this? Shenema, because the famous pasuk that we have from Yirmiyahu tells us, "Vilameidna binosechem nehi." You will teach your daughters Nebuch this sighing, this type of mourning. Veisha ruusa kina, and each of them will also teach their friends the kina. And Rashi in the Ksiv Yad over here says, "Zosomeres kina v'chaverta ona." That they say the first sentence, and then all the chaverim, all the other women, they respond to it. Finally, we want to end off this Masechta and Botosos and other Mepharshim over here on the Daf say that in the Mishnayis, you have Moed Katan coming as the last Masechta, and therefore some have this as the last Masechta in all of Seder Moed, and therefore we want to end off the entire Seder, not only this Masechta. On a positive note, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, Chagiga, which is what we're going to learn next, is the last Masechta in Seder Moed, but some do say that Moed Katan actually comes after Chagiga. Certainly in the Mishnayis that's found that way, but in the Gemara we have Moed Katan before Chagiga. But in any event, we want to end off this Masechta of Moed Katan, this beautiful Masechta, or the entire Seder Moed, with a positive note. We often find that we want to end off on a positive note. Avol Yosid Lavo, the Mishnah tells us in the future, what is a person going to say? They're not going to be singing these dirges. Who Omer, a person is going to say, Bila Hamavis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to swallow up death, Lenetzach, forever. And Hashem will wipe away the tears from all faces. And then the pasuk continues, and it ends off, and it says, that's the Vagomer over here, and it says, V'cherpas amo yosir me'al kol aretz k'Hashem diber. And the busha of all of the Klai Yisrael will be removed from the face of the earth. This is what Hashem declares. It's Hashem b'mehera b'yameinu. Now the Gemara says, Maya Maron, what exactly were these eulogies that these women would say and the dirges that they would sing? So Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Vai li azla, vai li chabila. There are a number of different ways to translate this. So la azla means that this person, Nebuch, is going away. They're going on a trip. And vai li chabila, and woe is to them that they have to return the mashkon. The simple understanding is the chabila, this package, means a mashkon. And the person is given the neshama, they have to return it, and they better return it in the proper way or else they're going to be in trouble. Now, this was said by Rab, but now we're going to have a number of statements that Rava tells us that the women of Shem Chaziv would say. Why Bedafka the women? So Rabbeinu Hananel tells us a very important idea. Nishay the Shem Chaziv hayu chachomos, vayu ma'anos ve'omros, this various dirges and various ideas of eulogy. So these women were very smart, and as I mentioned before, the women were much more involved sometimes in the mornings than were the men. because of their nature. In any event, Rav is going to tell us a whole bunch of statements, seven statements that the women of Shen Chatziv would say. So he first starts off with what Rav had just told us. The Shen Chatziv would say this. Amran Hachi, Vaili Azla, Vaili Chavila. Woe is to us, the person Nebuchadnezzar is leaving the world, and woe is to them that they're going to have this mashkon that they have to return. The second thing that they said, the Shen Chatziv Amran, Gud Garma Mikocha, the Nimte Maya Liantiche. Now, there are a number of ways to understand this. We'll just learn it nice and simple. And the simple understanding is, first in the Ksiv Yad Rashi says, the jaws dropped over here. The Namte Maya Liantiche, Klomar, Hadre Maya Lemafreya, Kapimala. And instead of fluids going in, now the fluids are coming out. In other words, the person no longer has control of taking in things, and Nebuch, the secretions, the body fluids will go out because the person Nebuch is dead. The Rashi's on the Mishnah weren't found over here. You can see in the top Rashi that the Rashi's on the Mishnah says below Perish. So if you look in Os Mem in the Masorah Sashas, he tells us that the Rashi's are actually found in the Ein Yaakov, and a lot of the Ksiv Yads that I'm mentioning are actually what's found in the Ein Yaakov as well. And they're actually found on Chav Tes Omud Aleph. And if you look at the Rebbe Chananel, he gives us some explanations over here as well. He was the one that said that Chavola means a mashkon. And then he tells us a number of interpretations over here for this statement about good garma mikocha. And he tells us, Klomar, kiven shenechta hamachol mipiachole, bo eres bo chamos umchamnas me raglob kechomos antichi. So it says that when a person eats these things, so it heats up his body and it heats up his urine, just like it was heated up in some sort of a kettle. So that's the way the body works. Rava continues, he says, Vama Rava, another thing that the Neshei Shin Chatziv Amran, another thing that they said was, Atuf v'chasui, Ture, they go and cover up over here, you mountains, because the Bar Rame, or Bar Rabrevi, who? Because this person, Nebuch, that passed away, is an exalted person. They're a Rami person, a high person, a Rabrevi, a great person. You see over here in the Runjberg, in Oz Beis, he says the mountains covered up, so to say, the Choshech, they're covered up now because Sheben Gedolim or Ben Givom Haya Hamesazeh, because this great person has left us, so the mountains themselves are covered up. Next thing the Rava tells us, Yom Rava Nishay Dishin Chatziv Amrun, the next thing that the women said, Shiul Itzdala Demelosa Labar Chorin, the Shlimu Zivadeh, that this Nebuch, the person is buried over here, is considered like a very, very fine piece of clothing made out of silk, and this Nebuch is going to have to be paid for. This person has used up all their money, and Nebuch, somebody has to pay for this funeral. So they were encouraging people to go and help pay for the funeral costs. Furthermore, Yom Rava, Neshei Dishin Chatziv Amran, they said, Royet v'nofel amaybra v'zyufta Yosef, because they should run over here and help this person who's at a crossroads, at this ma'abra, is like a bridge, and he Nebuch has no money to pay for anything, so help us out with the funeral costs. So these were eulogies that were here to try to raise funds for these Nebuch poor people. Finally, all of our brothers over here who are merchants, that's one gear set that we have. Others say, Azvine, Mibdiku, go check out your money. In other words, you're going to also be held accountable. And if you can go help this person, so then it will be easier for you eventually, Rahman al-San, should you need it. And finally, the last thing, Amar Rava, the Shei Dishinchas of Amarin, they said, Mosa Kimosa, Umarin Kibulaya. There's no difference. Everybody's going to die eventually. And therefore, the only difference is how much difficulties you have in your death. And therefore, a person can go and try to make things good for other people, and Mida Keneged Mida, if you help them out, so you'll be helped out as well. That will remove some of the difficulties, Marin Chibulaya, that you would otherwise have if you didn't go and help other people out. So those were the seven things that Rava said over from the Neshei Dishin Chatziv. Gemara continues and says, Tanya, Hai Rav Meir, Rav Meir, Rav Meir said a very similar idea. He said, Tov l'leches al beis evel v'gomer. So the famous pasuk from Koheles, that it says that it's much better for a person to go to a house of avelus than to go to a beis mishteh, than to go to a wedding. As the pasuk says, Tov l'leches al beis evel v'leches al beis mishteh. Kasher usov kol adam v'achai yitin alivo. Because everybody's going to die, and you got to take that to heart. So therefore, that's what the end of the pasuk is, ad v'achai yitin alivo. So we read the whole pasuk. So devarim shel misa, this is referring to death. That's what a person should always realize, that whatever you're doing in life, realize it's not going to continue. Everybody's going to eventually have to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu at their death. And therefore, one should always take this in mind, whatever one does. And therefore, tov lechaz beis evel, to go and realize how things are going to be for you if you don't go and live your life properly. The yisbid, yisbidune, likewise, a person should always go and try to be masbid other people. Because if you're masbid people, so then people will be masbid you. This is a chesed shalemis. You're not expecting the masbid to have the person who died be giving him a eulogy, but this will teach other people, listen, he gave a nice eulogy for him, we should give a nice eulogy for him as well. So this will lead to, if you act nicely towards other people, when you have no expectation of getting paid back from them, this is a cheshes lemon, so then people will pay you back, mida keneged mida. The kaver, if you help bury other people, yikberune, then people will help bury you. The yitan, if you help carry the nebuch, the mace, to the actual cemetery, yitanune, so then people will go and carry you. And the dal, if you go and cry for that person, Rashi over here says that the idal means klomar magbi in behesped. If you go and eulogize other people, lemisha magbi a kolul hesped achayim. If you raise your voice in mourning and hesped them for other people, so then yidlude. So then they will raise their voices and cry for you. Alternatively, v'ikud yamre to lo yidal yidlune. As Rashi Niksiviat says on Chavtesom and Aleph, me shalom meirim atzma begatsus. If you don't act arrogantly, abul metapa lemesim, and you say it's not below my dignity to go and take care of this mace, so then meirim lo mina shemayim, then they'll elevate you in shemayim. In other words, if you act in a non-arrogant, haughty fashion, so then you'll be treated in the same way by shemayim. They'll treat you in a proper way. Tchsiv. This is based upon the pasuk kitov amaloch alei heina v'gomer. This is a pasuk that we have from Mishlei, and the whole pasuk reads as follows. Ki tov amar loch alei heina me'ashpilchel ifnei nadiv asheru einecha. If you don't make yourself into a big shot, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat you properly as well. Gemara continues in the same vein. It says, Tana Rabbanon, Kishemeisu banim shel Rabbi Yishmael. Nebuch, Rabbi Yishmael lost two sons, and Nichlisu Arba Zekeinu L'Nachmo, and four great Tanoim came to go and be Menachem Rabbi Yishmael over the terrible loss that he had. Who are these four great Tanoim? Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Tarfon, as they went into the base level of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yishmael tells his three colleagues, Amalahen, Rabbi Tarfon tells the other three colleagues, Du, you should know, Shechachem Gadolhu, Ubaki Biagados. We're dealing over here with the Shiva of Rabbi Yishmael, sitting Shiva for his two sons. He's a huge Talmud Chacham. He is Baki, he is knowledgeable in all the agados. So So be very careful that not one of you goes and either interrupts his friend or says something that's inappropriate or repeats something, because you're dealing over here with Rabbi Yishmael. So each of you should be mechadish something and not step on each other's toes and not say over the same verse that your friend said. And Rabbi Kiva heard this and he says, I'm a Rabbi Kiva, I'm an Yachon. Rabbi Kiva was very, very humble. And he says, well, I'll be the last one to go, obviously, and the other three are greater than me. Okay, it's very, very humble. Pasah, so they enter the house, so you're not allowed to speak until the Avil speaks. So Rabbi Shmuel speaks first. So Pasah, Rabbi Shmuel speaks first to them in the Omer, and he says to them, I'm so sorry that I caused you to come here a second time. You were just here for the Avelis of my first son, and now you're here Nebuch again for the Avelis of my second son. Rabu Avonosav, I must have so many sins over here to Kafu Avelah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has punished me so quickly to lose two children one after the other. Hitriach Rabosav, and I'm sorry that I'm bothering you, Pam Rishona, that you had to come last week for the Avelis, and now you're coming again, Ushni, you're coming again for the Avelis. So that's how Rabbi Shmuel started off. And this is the Halach Lamaisa. When you go into a Beis Avel, you don't speak until you're spoken to. That's the Minuk. So the four great Tanoim, they go give their words of Nichum to Rabbi Yishmael. So the first one to speak is Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon starts to speak first V'yomer, and he says as follows, V'acheichem ko beis Yisrael yivku es ha-sreifa Nebuch, when Aaron Avinu lost his two sons, Nadav and Avihu, so it says that the entire nation went and mourned with Aaron over the loss of Nadav and Avihu. Ko beis Yisrael yivku es ha-sreifa. Everybody cried about the death of Nadav and Avihu. Now, if we all cried, Kal Yisrael all cried by the death of Nadav and Avihu, so how much more so should we cry at your sons? It's a Kal Vachomer. Why is that? Now, Chas V'Shalom, Nadav and Avihu were great, great tzaddikim. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them to be Mekadesh the Mishkan because they were so great. The Krovaya Kodesh. So, it doesn't mean over here that they weren't great tzaddikim. It just means that there's only one mitzvah that's specifically mentioned over here that they did in regards to the Mishkan. And that was, Vayakriv b'nei Aaron, that they went and sacrificed as a damilov. They brought the blood onto the Mizbeach. So therefore, even though they were great, great tzaddikim, the only thing that's mentioned over here that caused all of Klai Yisrael, Kol Beis Yisrael, Yivkua Sasreifa, was this one mitzvah. So, kach, nevertheless, all Klai Yisrael went and cried over them. So, how much more so? Baruch Shem Yishmael, Achaz Chama Kama, they were great tzaddikim, they did many great things. So, this is something that you, Rabbi Shmuel, should not be concerned about, that you, Achaz Vishom, doing something wrong. This is Kol Beis Yisrael, Yivkua Sasreifa, will be appropriate for your children as well. That was what Rabbi Tarfon said. Those are the words of Nichum, of Nechama, that he told to Rabbi Shmuel. Then next, Nana, Rabbi Yosef Galili Vyomar, Rabbi Yosef Galili gets up next and says a different part. He says, V'sof du lo ko Yisrael, v'kavroso. This is talking about the death of Yeravim ben Nevat's son, Aviyah. Now, Yeravim ben Nevat was originally a great Talmud Chacham, but then Nebuch, he went off the derech totally, and he was a Choti Umachti par excellence. He was the classical example, Nebuch, of a person who's a Choti Umachti. He had a son, Aviyah, who was certainly not a good king, but he did one good thing, and therefore they were Softu Ko Yisrael. Everybody was Maspid, this Aviyah, the son of Yeravim ben Nevat, and they buried him with great fanfare. Now, he says again a similar idea. Rabbi Yosef Lee says to Rabbi Shmuel, "Hello, Dram Kavachomer. If all of Klai Yisrael buried with great fanfare this Aviyah, who was not a great tzaddik, he only did one great thing. Uma Aviyah ben Yeravim ben Nevat shlo wasa eladavar echatov. He did one good thing, which we'll see in a second what it was. The Chsiv Beit says in the pasuk, 'Yanim sabo davar tov,' because he had one good thing. Kach all of Klai Yisrael mourned him and buried him. So certainly, Banim Shor Yishmal, which was so much greater, Alachatz Kama Vakama, how much more so." That all of Klai Yisrael is going to come and console you and mourn with you over the great loss that you suffered of these great tzaddikim, your two sons. Now, what was the one good thing that Aviyah ben Yeravim ben Nevat did? So the Gemara says, "My davar tov." So Zeru Chinina ba Papa, they said as follows: Chadamar, one said, we don't know which one said which. Shabita mishmar tov yolo regel. Yeravim ben Nevat was very much afraid that if people went to be Ola regel, they would see who was the real king. Because Rehoboam, Shlomo's son, who Yeravim ben Nevat had split away the kingdom, so he now would be the king of Malchus Yehuda, and Yeravim ben Nevat, who was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Navi, go set up the northern kingdom. Yeravim ben Nevat was a great tzaddik originally, so they would now go all to the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, he would still go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the king of Malchus Beis Yehuda from David would be allowed to sit down in the Azara, and the king from the northern kingdom, from Malchus Yisrael, would not be allowed to sit down. So people say, hey, guess who's the real king? Rehoboam must be the real king. He's sitting down, and this fake king, Yeravim ben Nevat, is not sitting down. So therefore, Yeravim set up originally these new Batei Mikdash, which were to be towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he set them up, and he didn't allow people to go to the real Beis HaMikdash. He set up other Beis HaMikdash, which were originally Shem Shamayim, really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then ultimately, unfortunately, became Batei Avodah Zarah. But originally, he said, nobody's allowed to go to the real Beis HaMikdash. And his son, Aviyah, dismantled those. So that's what he says. That he himself, Aviyah, went to be Ola Regel. He wasn't concerned that he's going to be standing up in the Azara, and Rechavim and Rechavim's children are not going to be they're going to be sitting down in the Azara. They're not going to be standing like he was. And the other one said, that he just abolished over here these guards, the roadblocks that they had put up to not allow people to go from Malchus Yisrael to Malchus Yehuda to Beis HaMikdash. Those paradisos that had been set up, because he was afraid that people would be Ola Regel and see that he's not the real king. Okay, so that's the one good thing that Aviyah ben Yeravim ben Nevat did. Next, the third of the great Tanoim that visited Rabbi Shmuel to be Menachem, him said, "Not Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi v'Yomar." He goes and says as follows: "B'shalom tomus u'b'misrafos avosecho hamalachim arishonim ashayu lefanecho kein yisrafu loch." So this is talking about the last king of Malchus Yehuda, the Melech Tzidkio. Until Moshiach Tzidkenu comes, he was the last king of Malchus Yehuda, the last king of the David lineage until Moshiach Tzidkenu was going to come. There were some kings after him, but they weren't really the kings in Eretz Yisrael. They were in captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. So in any event, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah says this pasuk about Melech Tzidkio, that the pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us that he would die b'shalom. He would die b'shalom, and that he would have the same misrefos. They used to have a royal pyre, P-Y-R-E. They would go build a big conflagration and burn all the possessions of the king. That was appropriate for a king. It's not appropriate for anybody else, but they would do that for the kings. And in other words, this was a proper royal burial that Tzidkio would have. And now, Tzidkio, again, it says, Aludron Kavachomer, similar idea to beforehand, that Umat Tzidkio Melech Yehuda Shlo Oso Ela Mitzvah Achas, he only did one mitzvah. Now, Tosus points out over here, Tzadik Gomer Hoya, in Dira Masl Tzidkio Melech Yehuda, Tosus says that Tzidkio was a great, great king. He was a Tzadik Gomer. Nebuch, the generation, was not. And therefore, basically, this was destroyed during Tzidkio's time. But Tosus points out, Abu B'mikra, if you just read the simple psukim, it doesn't appear that way. The Gemara tells us he was a great king, but if we're reading the simple psukim, Lomotzina Yoser, Kim Shutziva, Lahalos Yirmiyo Minatit. The one thing he did was bring up Yirmiyo. The Gemara continues, Shalo Yirmiyo Minatit. There is actually an area where they say that we actually know where this pit that Yirmiyo was thrown into. It's right by the people that go on the tours in the Ir David. So they bring you down into this pit in the ground where they say that's where Yirmiyo was actually held, and the Melech Tzidkio brought him out from that pit. Shelo Yirmiyo Minatit. Now that's the only thing, quote, that the Navi tells us that Yirmiyo tells us that Tzidkio did what was good. And nevertheless, Kach, he's told that he's going to die this great death as a king, that he'll die in peace, and he'll die with this huge royal pyre. So therefore, if that's going to happen to Tzidkio, Kach, so certainly, to you, Rabbi Yishmael, the same thing is going to happen, that if he was Zoche to that, so certainly you are Zoche, because you are greater in some ways, because it's only one thing mentioned for the Melech Tzidkio that he did good. Now again, there's obviously going to be a question over here, because when there was Galus Babel, so Tzidkio was blinded and his children were killed in front of him. How can you suggest that Tzidkio died a good death? So in Mir Tzashem, the Gemara will discuss that in a few moments. In any event, we've only come, before we answer that question, to the fourth Tana, Rabbi Akiva. Tana, Rabbi Akiva of Yom, Rabbi Akiva tells us, Bayomahu Yigdala Misbeh B'Yushalayim Kimisbeh Hadrimon Bebikas Megidon. Now you remember, as it says in the Masorah Shasta, we had this in the Gemara in Megillah, at the very beginning of that Masechta, and it says over there, Vomer of Yosef, who again was an expert on Targum because he was blind, so it says, Imali Targum made the high crow. If it wasn't for the fact that the Targum explained this Pasuk, we wouldn't have a clue what this Pasuk meant, Lovi Yadina, my Kamar, because the Pasuk doesn't make any sense. We're not familiar with any such Maisa that occurred that was a misspade, a hesped for Hadrimon Bebikas Megiddo. So it's actually a juxtaposition of two stories. So it tells us, Be'idna, Ha'uyiske Misped of Yerushalayim. At that time, there was a huge hesped in Yerushalayim. Remember, the Gemara in Sukkah taught us that this was either for Mashiach ben Yosef, or this was a hesped, so to say, at the death of the Yetzirah. In any event, this great hesped that took place was as great as, and now here we have the combination of two events, Kimispeda, like the hesped that was held for Achav bar Omri, the Kotal Yosei Hadrimo bar Tavrimo, that there was a huge hesped for Achav. Why did he deserve such a hesped? We'll see in a moment. When he was killed by Hadrimon bar Tavrimo. And there was such a huge hesped, we'll say in a moment why, and it was also like the huge hesped that was held, the Mispeid, the Yoshio bar Amon, the great Melech Yoshio, when he was Nebuch killed by Paro Nicho, the called the Yosei Paro Chagira. Paro Chagiri, the lame Paro Nicho, when he was killed, Bimbikas Megiddo. So this is a combination of these two things, that Hadrimon had killed Achav bar Omri, and Yoshio was killed in Bikas Megiddo. Now, Rabbi Akiva's consolation is Nechama to Rabbi Shmuel was, if these people deserve the great hesped, it's a kavachomer that you deserve to have great hesped for your sons. Follow Dorm kavachomer. Uma Achav Melech Yisrael, this Achav bin Omri, who was not a good person. He did one good thing, which we will say in a second. When he was killed in battle, he stood standing. He didn't let himself be shown to fall in battle in front of his soldiers, so that they shouldn't go and become all depressed and run away from the battle and be killed even more. So he stood himself up, even though he was dying. So that's the one good thing that he did. So he was rewarded with this great hesped kach. So certainly, your children will also get a great hesped. And similarly, Yoshio, he, we'll see in a moment, also Nebuch had a terrible death. He was made into like a sieve. He was killed with 300 arrows, but he acknowledged HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said that I made a mistake. I should have listened to the Navi and I didn't, and therefore he did Tzedek HaDin, and therefore he deserved the great hesped. And just so too, just like he did one good thing, so too, of course, Yoshio did many, many great things, but one good thing specifically mentioned around his death, so therefore your son certainly deserve a great hesped. Now, we'll get more to this in a second, but right now we go back to the third statement that we made from the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. He said that just like Tzidkio had a great death, so too your sons will have a great hesped. So Amalei Ravel, Rabba Bamari said, wait a second, Tzidkio, Nebuch, when Nebuchadnezzar, Russia, came in and destroyed Yerushalayim, what did he do? He blinded Tzidkio. First he killed his son, so he should see his sons die, and then he blinded him. So B'Shalom Tomos, you're telling me that the pasuk says he'll die in peace? He first killed his sons, and then he blinded Tzidkio. How can you tell me that that's a good death? So that's what Rava asked Rabba Bamari in Amalei. Rabba Bamari said, yeah, but who had the last laugh? Hachi Amar Yochanan. Yochanan said that Shemes Nebuchadnezzar Biyomov, that Nebuchadnezzar did not outlive Tzidkio. While Tzidkio was taken into captivity as a blind person, Nebuchadnezzar, with his sons killed, but he outlived Nebuchadnezzar. And the day that Nebuchadnezzar died was the day of Shalom for Tzidkio. Even though he died the next day, the Medrash tells us, but at the same time, Tzidkio outlived Nebuchadnezzar and saw Nebuchadnezzar's death. So that's why he died b'shalom. Now, we similarly have the question that I just brought down. It says by Yoshio that he'll die in great happiness. But again, but it says that he was killed with 300 arrows. They made him into like a sieve. That he was made into a sieve. He was pierced with 300 arrows. Now, 300 may be an exaggeration, but that's what the Navi says. So, again, Rava says, how can you tell me this is a good death? So Amalei, so Rabbi Bamari responds to Rava, and he says, Hachem Rav Yochanan, this is what Rav Yochanan said, Shelo Chora Beis HaMikdash B'yomav, that Yoshio was granted that at least the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed in his lifetime, which would have been much more painful to him. So I thought we would get to the end of the Masechta, but let's stop over here. We'll leave a little bit more for tomorrow. It'll be a very short shiur for tomorrow, but we're getting close to the end of the hour. I don't like to go beyond an hour for sure. So Be'ezus Hashem will pick up over here, and Mirtz Hashem tomorrow will conclude the Masechta. Have a wonderful day.